Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Welcome to our hosts, Gina McAndrews, Susan Franson, and Paul Wearson.
Hello, listeners. We're sure all happy to be here to greet you today.
And we're especially glad to have Paul Wearson with us for the monthly Story County Report from Leanne Harder. Hi, Paul and Leanne.
Hello, Susan and everybody else on the air. We're going to have quite a few people on today. And I always like it when Leanne is here because it signals the beginning of a new month. And she reminds us that Story County is not a boring place to live. How are you, Leanne?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
Well, we do have quite a few things happening in Story County, and it is a beautiful morning, so I'm sure you can hear the birds chirping in the background. That's a great sign of spring and summer for Story County. Let me start out by some fantastic news and a couple of fundraisers for Story County Animal Shelter. The Story County Animal Shelter now is open for walk-ins. Last March, when Story County offices closed, the animal shelter, because the staff had to go by appointment only, but they're now open for walk-ins. They do need appointments for certain services, but check our website at storycountyiowa.gov and find animal control and animal shelter. You can find some more information. But we have some really dedicated animal welfare advocates and groups of people that are just around Story County have been putting on some fundraisers for the animal shelter for a number of years. And actually coming up in a couple weeks on June 26th is one of those fundraisers. It's the 9th annual Chasing Tails Motorcycle Fun Run. So for 9 years now, a group of individuals have gone out. It starts at Tattered Toad in Cambridge. And then kickstands go up at 12 p.m. after breakfast available for purchase. And there's a tour going up to Rhodes, to Colo, to St. Anthony, and then ending at G.I. Jill's and Roland. There's a registration fee, so you can contact them at 313-733-7732. You can find them on Facebook at Chase and Tail Fun Run. Again, this is the 9th annual one coming up on June 26th, so just a couple weeks away. Another fundraiser for Story County Animal Shelter is the first ever Buddies and Brews event. It's actually this Saturday, June 12th, starting at 11 a.m. It's hosted by Fuel of Story County. It's a pet adoption drive being held in the Torrent Brewing Company, Great Harvest Bakery, and cafe parking lot. So for those of you who have been looking to adopt a new pet but just haven't had the time to get to the animal shelter, you can join Fuel and Story County Animal Shelter for this pet adoption drive. Great Harvest will supply all attendees with a free cup of coffee, so a great way to start your morning with some puppy and kitten kisses, and then anyone that adopts an animal that day will receive a free pint from Torrent Brewing. So again, it's Saturday, June 12th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in Ames. I'm going to switch gears now to Veterans Affairs, Story County. We have the VA of Central Iowa Healthcare System Mobile Medical Unit visiting Story County again. It's coming up Thursday, July 1st. From 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. This time they'll be located over in Nevada at the American Legion Post. That's at 1331 6th Street, again over in Nevada. This on-site visit provides services to veterans at locations that are pretty convenient to folks that need those services. You can schedule appointments to meet with the VA healthcare provider in a secure and private virtual medical room. They bring this mobile medical unit up so that you can have a bunch of different services available. You have to schedule a VA visit. Call 515-699-9999 5999, extension 21501. And it does look like they do have some walk-in availability, but again, I would go ahead and try to schedule an appointment if you can, and if you could help us get that phone number available to those, that would be great. Another thing coming up, well, actually kind of started June 1st, but we're in the midst of it, and I think maybe your listeners have heard a little bit from Keith Morgan on this, our Story County Emergency, our Story County Emergency Management Director. The Story County Iowa Alerts Notification System is undergoing some changes. Starting this past June 1st, residents can access more features like storm warnings through that Story County Iowa Alerts Emergency Notification System. Three ways to sign up and access the updated features. You can go online to storycountyiowa.gov/alerts. You can download an app on your smartphone or a wireless-enabled device. It's Smart 911 app. So we encourage people to go in. We are switching, Story County Iowa Alerts, switching to a new provider called Ray Public Safety as of July 1st. So it is necessary to go in and do some of this information that you need to. An alert message will go out next Wednesday, June 16th at 5 p.m. to anyone that had previously signed up on the old system to go in and get registered on the new system. So you can check our website for some information on how to do that. But again, enhanced features, which will be fantastic. Then I want to talk a little bit about the Emergency Broadband Benefit Program. It assists with purchasing internet service. It is a program launched recently through the Federal Communications Commission, or the FCC. It's a temporary program to help families and households that are struggling to afford internet service during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Emergency Broadband Benefit provides a discount of up to $50 per month towards broadband service for those eligible households, and up to $75 per month for households on qualifying tribal lands. Eligible households can also receive a one-time discount for up to $100 to purchase a laptop, desktop computer, or tablet from any participating providers. So those participating providers are available to view online. You can see it on Story County's website. You can also visit www.fcc.gov/broadband benefit, or they have a toll-free number at 833-511-0311. And as we see things evolving again around us, starting to look a little bit more like it was as we started 2020, we need to be cognizant, though, that there are still families out there struggling. Maybe they haven't regained pre-pandemic employment or even levels of employment they had. So this is an opportunity for those that do need help to go to that website and see if the provider with whom they are signed up for service can help is in the program. So last, I just want to share some interesting and fun news. So Story County, as everyone knows, has a website, which later this year, watch for that website to start looking a little bit different. That's not the interesting and fun news, but I'll share more on how the website will be changing and when we get to August. But now that we're in halfway into the calendar year, we're starting to do a new thing. Following each Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesdays, one of the board members is sitting down and just doing a quick one-minute recap of the meeting. So I encourage everyone to check our Facebook and Twitter and Instagram pages and follow along to see those, and then you can go in and read a meeting recap that is also posted online, and then there's a link to go in and watch the videos if you want to watch the videos. We are meeting in person now for all Story County meetings. The boardroom is available, but we also have a Zoom option for folks that aren't comfortable in that situation yet or just want to join in and see what's happening and participate in their local government. I am available at lharder@storycountyiowa.gov, or you can call me at 515-382-7247. Again, our website is www.storycountyiowa.gov. And I think, Paul, that is all I can fill in the time I'm allotted.
Well, I'm glad you stayed within the time allotted, but there's a lot of information. As usual, you're a bearer of good tidings of great joy. And, you know, I was particularly impressed with the activities around the animal rescue works. But, you know, I can't participate because my farm cat, Bluto, really enjoys being king of the farm. And if I cross him, he doesn't talk to me for weeks. He's passive aggressive. So I'm not allowed to adopt a pet. But maybe someday Bluto becomes more forgiving. Thanks a lot, Leanne, and we look forward to your report in July.
Okay, well, thank you, and I hope everyone has a great remainder of June.
Thank you. In case you just tuned in, you are listening to Local Talk, OI Community Radio. Your hosts for today are Gina McAndrew, Susan Franzen, and Paul Wearson, who has been talking with Leanne Harder, Story County Outreach Coordinator. Although it didn't come out in our announcements, for the rest of the program, we'll be covering diversity issues, starting of Ames High School some 20 years ago. We have Reggie Greenlaw, retired Ames High teacher, who was active in planning what was called Diversity Day. Hi, Reggie.
Hello, Susan. How are you today?
Great. I couldn't help thinking when I've been hearing all this controversy in the legislature, what was your Diversity Day and what was it all about?
It's amazing how things change and how things don't change, Susan. This came about around 1994. Actually, I was looking back through the agendas that we had. As a result of some incidents that were happening at Ames High School, we felt there was a need to have an entire student body and teachers and administrators gather to address problems that are indigenous to the entire country, as well as shining a spotlight on people who are generally unrecognized in the Ames community. We began by calling it a Diversity Day. We ended up calling, for various reasons, calling it a Unity Day instead, semantics. But for the Diversity Day, we gathered many students together from the Ames Human Relations Committee, teachers from the Human Relations Committee, administrators, the superintendent was involved, the principal was involved. Mike Avis helped register students for this, and we arranged 2 days wherein, well, 1 day each for 2 years, where 40-some seminars were presented from as many walks of life as we could come up with between all of us. And we ended up coming with a pretty impressive set of seminars. We set an entire day aside. Each seminar was 90 minutes in length. And it addressed, I could give you a list of what some of the seminars were, because they were pretty impressive. But before I do that, two of the events that led up to the Diversity or Unity Day were rather distressing. One was, I want to just say thoughtless, where for a fundraiser, a couple of the African-American students allowed themselves to be sold at a mock slave auction for a fundraiser. Not a good idea, and there's a lot of embarrassment along with that. People were called on it, and that was addressed fairly quietly. Another thing that happened that was quite distressing was that a couple of the PE classes had a dodgeball game going on, and during the dodgeball game, it was addressed as Jew ball, the point being that you wiped out as many people as you possibly could, and the last one standing was the winner. Not a very sensitive game. And then anti-Semitic jokes were being tossed around. Some minorities were being addressed not well. People with mental disabilities were not being treated in a fashion we wanted. So we gathered, and we tried to come up with as many seminars as we possibly could with an authority or somebody who is very familiar with the topic in each of the seminars. This is also about the time the AIDS came to Ames. Do you remember that, Susan?
Yeah.
Were you part of that?
The AIDS quilt?
Yeah.
Well, only that we had a Russian student staying with us, and tremendously impressed with the AIDS quilt. He just had never heard of it, and he wanted to take lots of pictures of it and take them home, and Was that my only involvement, just seeing it?
Okay. It was remarkable. I had some involvement with that as well. Some of the seminars included disabled folk with a very wide range of disabilities, and the title of the seminar is Living with a Disability and Obstacles to Living as a Regular Citizen, it means. We had one on interracial, or what would have been called a mixed marriage back then, where we actually had a principal, Glenn Connor, who was African-American and his wife was Caucasian, talking about the difficulties they had upon first moving to Ames. And Glenn was also a great patron of the arts and gave a very good presentation along with several other couples. So that was still an issue then. We had wonderful music. We had B.J. Fleming, one of my favorite singer-songwriters, who was living in Ames at the time, and Deb Marquardt, who is now our Iowa State Poet Laureate, coming with the Bone People. And the name of our seminar for that was Music as an Agent of Social Change. Tony Stevens is a drummer, and he spoke about African rhythms in the keynote address and did a marvelous job talking about cultures through voice rhythms, and brought several indigenous forms of rhythm to the whole student population at the required assembly at the beginning of the day. For those who did not go to 90-minute seminars, we had Schindler's List had just come out. We allowed them to do a viewing of Schindler's List, which had just come out into video in the Ames High Auditorium. And that covered a few hundred students who watched the show for the entire, a good part of the school day. We had one wing set aside at the high school entitled I Believe. We made a point of recruiting and finding as many people as we could from as many different faiths as we possibly could, including Wiccan, religions that are not considered mainstream, and also Judaism, several forms of Christianity. And the point there was that students would come in and find out about those religions, the caveat being, as the speakers presented, was that the speakers were allowed to say, this is what we believe in my religion. Proselytizing was not allowed, and it was respected through all of the presenters. We managed to dodge a few bullets that way, in that nobody felt like they were being preached to, and everybody was able to find out the tenets of the religions that exist in Ames at the time. There was a Taste of Ames, which is arguably the most popular facet of our Unity Days, where we found as many families, restaurants, and general businesses from as many ethnicities as we could to bring in samples of ethnic foods. They really put on the dog. The entire gymnasium was flooded with the most beautiful smorgasbord you ever saw in your life. And the smells just that rose from that were just heavenly. Businesses actually left with a little bit of food. There was more food than Ames High students could eat, if you can imagine such a thing. It was breathtaking. We had living with AIDS. We had people who were dying from AIDS presenting. We had homelessness in Ames, with several homeless people presenting what it is like to be homeless and to be poor in Ames. We had an interesting one with one of our Unitarian compatriot, Suzanne Zilber. And this was an unusual one. Suzanne wanted to talk about consent and what it took for consent, that consent meant between two consenting adults, many things were possible, but the consent, if there was no consent, even during the act of sex, that it stopped right there. And to get to it, Suzanne made the title Getting to Yes. That was the name of the seminar. What it took for sex to be consensual. This was appropriated by Jan Mikkelsen for WHO radio, who went on the air blasting Ames High Unity Day, saying that there's a seminar going on that was going to be teaching high school boys how to get laid. just wonderful misinterpretation of what it was that we were doing. The community reaction to our Unity Day was generally positive. We didn't hear much feedback. Again, the keynote was wonderful. UFA Day cited us as one of the top 50 diversity programs in the country. And interestingly enough, it would seem successful if we had many schools visiting to see what it was like. Storm Lake took the days that we did as a model, as a template for something to do up there. Storm Lake was at that point experiencing a huge demographic shift towards Hispanic and Latino workers due to the meatpacking plants. They wanted to have something of this sort, so they used our diversity days, Unity Days, as templates, and they did a very similar program up there, and they felt it was successful as well. So again, it's 40-some seminars offered. Ames Interfaith Council was very collaborative with us, and people in charge were Suzanne Mendelson, who was an associate principal at the time. Chuck Ochter was principal of the high school. Mike Avis was an associate principal. Nick Johns was the superintendent. I was in it, of course. I was helping to organize all this. Ames Human Relations Committee, and many, many outside parents and involved citizens. So is there anything I can address further that you would care to have me do?
No, in the interest of time, I think, I know you've got a song for Gems Unity for our topic of acceptance. And also, I wondered, why did you only do a Diversity Day twice after all that praise stopped?
It's a fair question. We ran out of gas, Susan. It took a couple of months for each Diversity Day, Unity Day that we organized. We pared it down to having very large, wonderful Martin Luther King Day celebrations, which sadly never seemed to occur on Martin Luther King Day because it was that day was when the semesters were switching. But the day after or the Friday before, we would have a Martin Luther King celebration where we tried to incorporate as many of those elements into the day as we possibly could for entire student presentations.
Okay, now we're going to have some more music later in the program, so we don't want to miss your song. I believe you have one that's a little bit special.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the name of it. You're a Little Bit Special is a diversity-related song, narrative. It's kind of a talking a story song, several little stories in it about everybody has some little spark in them that makes them unique, and yet we're all similar in many other ways. You're a Little Bit Special is the name of this tune.
Ten thousand penguins sat alone on a cold Antarctic night. Each one sitting on a single leg, reading the news by southern lights, and wishing that the wives would all come home, bring along some treats. They long to see them stomp the snow off feminine yellow feet. 1 month later, the ladies came ashore and walked along the beach. Pushed through blinded blizzards, couldn't hear themselves screech, and they fought their way to the rock piles to their loving mates' nests. Climbed onto the stones, gave the hubbies a fish, snuggled in to rest. The guy said, how did you know where to look for me? How did you find me here? What's it made you come back, woman? Why do you sit so near? After all, I'm just one creature. We all look the same. What possible single feature could have so turned on your flame? And ladies all said, you're a little bit special. I just knew that's all. Something special about you. Certain je ne sais quoi, vive la difference. Hey, I hope that you can see out of a billion goofy looking flightless birds, you're the one that's special to me. And Arnold sat there in his cubicle, somewhere on the 14th floor, rendering images on his screen, the fourth one from the door. His short black hair and tie were seen for many miles away, but his lonesome face was stuck in his display. And Amy stood in line at the vending machine, deciding what would suit her, when she cast a sideways glance at Arnold drawn on his computer. She wore designer clothes from head to toes and often could stop traffic, but jumped out of her skin and walked right in when she caught a look at his graphics. And Arnold said, "How did you know where to look for me? How did you find me here? What has it made you come on over? Why do you sit so near? After all, I'm just one creature. We all look the same. What possible single feature could have so turned on your flame?" And Amy said, "Well, you're a little bit special. I just knew that's all something special about you. Certain je ne sais quoi, vive la difference. I hope that you will see, out of 1,000 computer geeks in this place, you're the one that's special to me. Now who can say what shines a light in someone else's eye? Is it something we should try to sort and analyze? Maybe we all have some seeds that wait inside to grow. And maybe we need a friend around who knows. One day a left-handed gay vegan whale watching man in liberal views read his left-handed gay vegan whale watching hemp wearing liberal news. Bumper stickers on his blue jean jacket to numerous dimension. Sat alone in a recycle booth in the middle of a Unitarian convention. He lamented the sorry state of the world and feared no one there would listen when he spoke of the future that we could have using Eastern precognition. A small bearded man walked up to his booth sometime late in the afternoon and invited him to speak later on that summer upstate in his commune. That man asked, "How did you know where to look for me? How did you find me here? Why is it you come to this booth and why do you sit so near? After all, I'm just one creature. We all look the same. What possible single feature could so turn down your flame?" That other guy said, "Well, you're a little bit special. Well, I just knew that's all something special about you. That's certain je ne sais quoi, vive la difference. I hope that you can see, out of 1,000,000,000 liberals on this earth, you're the one that's special to me. You're a little bit special. I just know that's all something special about you. Sir, je ne sais quoi, vive la difference. I hope you all can see, out of 1,000,000,000 liberals on this earth, you're the ones that are special to me. Hey, billions of people here on this earth, and you're the one that's special to me."
Thank you, Reggie. And thanks for the tribute to everyone who is a little bit special. This is a good way to set the tone for this confusing and difficult time, when just trying to accept our neighbors has become a source of political controversy. According to yesterday's Des Moines Register, the Warren County Republican Party is challenging Indianola City Council to end its support for the United Way 21-Day Challenge, which is a series of activities that will deepen understanding and long commitment to improve equity and inclusion.
Wow, that can be a big question to tackle.
We can call on our political reporter, Laura Bellin, who's here with us, who was attending the Iowa legislature I believe it's the committee meeting when they passed House File 802.
Yes. Well, I didn't attend in person. I was watching. I watched a lot of the legislative proceedings virtually this year.
Well, I didn't quite greet you. I was just so glad to see you here. Laura Bellin is our reporter with Dennis Hart. They have their show Capital Week, which you should know not to miss. It comes. It's broadcast live on Monday evening at 7 and rebroadcast at noon on Wednesday, just today, so you can hear what they're talking about. But this was particularly appropriate when we're talking about getting along with each other and being accepting and so forth. So what was this bill, the divisive concepts bill?
Yes, well, the governor just signed this bill yesterday. It was part of a large batch. The Iowa House and Senate considered several versions of this kind of legislation. So the final version that was passed talked about 10 what they called specific defined concepts that you can't use in training or any courseroom materials in higher education or in local government. And some of them are, things like that one race or sex is inherently superior to another race or sex. Well, of course, that's not part of any diversity training or any curriculum that we know about. Some of them are a little more dicey, like, for instance, that any individual should feel discomfort, guilt, anguish, or any other form of psychological distress on account of that individual's race or sex. And then some of them are very problematic. One of them is that the United States of America and the state of Iowa are fundamentally or systematically racist or sexist. So you can't include that in diversity training or course materials. And as people who have studied this know, that systemic racism is a real thing. It exists now. It has existed at all times in American history and in Iowa. In fact, it was written into the U.S. Constitution that black people were 3/5 of a person. So, if you read this bill literally, it seems to say that you can't teach that. It's very difficult to see how you can teach about systemic racism. And there was an amendment to the bill that said instructors can answer questions about these concepts if asked, and also adding that the law doesn't prevent promoting diversity and inclusiveness. But, this is a very vaguely written statute, and I think it's possible that there could be lawsuits based on diversity training or course materials that have been in use for a long time.
Why was this bill even introduced?
It's part of a national trend, as many things the Iowa legislature has been doing are seen in a lot of states. So this is another example. There are at least a dozen states with Republican-controlled legislatures where similar legislation has been introduced to limit teaching. Some of those bills specifically mention critical race theory. This bill does not specifically mention critical race theory, although in the governor's signing statement, the news release that the governor's office put out yesterday, Governor Reynolds did say that that critical race theory was about labels and stereotypes, and that she was proud to have worked with the legislature to promote learning and not discriminatory indoctrination, which is what she called it. And, I think a lot of people would take issue with the idea that teaching about systemic racism is discriminatory indoctrination. But during the legislative debates on this, a lot of the Republican lawmakers were very upset by even the idea of white privilege, and a couple of them argued that even talking about white privilege is itself racist because they made it seem as if that's denigrating white people to talk about the fact that white privilege exists and white people benefit from that.
So it's in our law now, right?
Yes, it is law as of yesterday afternoon. The governor signed the bill. So it is the law of the state of Iowa.
What do you think the practical effects of this will be?
We've already seen some practical effects at Iowa State University. They've put on hold, the provost office put on hold new diversity curriculum requirements that the faculty senate had been working on for a long time because they said they wanted to to study that, the implications of that in light of this law. Also, the Quad City Times reported this week that the North Scott School District, that's just north of the Quad Cities area, that the superintendent had pulled some books from the shelf of the elementary school there because they had been purchased as part of a grant to get diversity materials, and they were books mostly for elementary school age children that focused on Black characters or people of color. And he was concerned because one of the books had something about anti-racism in it, and so he was concerned that this might conflict with this law. He was anticipating that the governor would sign the law, that this was before the governor actually had signed it. But in any case, those books are being reviewed now. And so, I mean, I think that we'll see. Betty Andrews, who's the president of the Iowa-Nebraska NAACP, told the Des Moines Register a few weeks ago that she was concerned that a lot of people would look at this law and say, well, I don't even want to get into these discussions. So, like, let's not do diversity training, or let's not cover certain aspects of history. And I had on Twitter yesterday, I mean, I saw a number of educators express concern, especially one history teacher who said, you know, how am I supposed to teach certain aspects? I mean, how can we talk about Jim Crow in class without talking about the history of systemic racism? And, you know, whether that would actually lead to a legal problem for a school district, I don't know. But I mean, it's possible in light of this law that some parent in a school district could be upset, could file a complaint, or could either against the teacher or against the district, complaining about material that was taught in class.
Well, I'm an older guy. This is Paul, by the way. And the Republican Party that I'm used to, I think, advocates for small government and limited intervention in local ideas and practices. So this is in contrast to what I view or understood Republicans to stand for. It's very controlling and interventionist in local policy. So in contrast to the history of the Republican Party, this is really quite remarkable when you look through the annals of time here. So what a trend it is. And of course, I view it as alarming any time that people want to squelch ideas. That's something that has a bad history and outcomes in national policy, because dictatorial regimes tend to limit ideas and narrow the scope that people can be educated within. So I think it's no matter if the Democrats did it or the Republicans did it, it would be an alarming trend. That concerns me a great deal, and we don't need people in the classroom to be walking on eggs all the time.
Yes, and I should add that the American Civil Liberties Union of Iowa, they did lobby against this bill. There was a very broad coalition of groups lobbying against this bill when it was under consideration. They haven't said whether they might file any kind of lawsuit. I think it's possible that somebody might sue and say this restricts my academic freedom, freedom of speech in the classroom. So it's quite vague. So I think that it's possible. I mean, I haven't heard of any specific group or person who's planning to file a lawsuit, but I wouldn't be surprised if either in Iowa or in some other state where this kind of legislation has been passed. I mean, it does seem pretty problematic. And I should say it wasn't just the education groups and the ACLU that were against the bill. I mean, many other groups, Nurses Association, Lutheran Services of Iowa, League of Women Voters, the Iowa Psychological Association, the Iowa Primary Care Association. I mean, just a large number of groups that are involved in some kind of diversity training or have that adjacent to their work. The Iowa Coalition Against Sexual Assault was another group that lobbied against it. So, you know, and I think anytime you talk about an area of a specific concept as being out of bounds to discuss, it is problematic because we know that people do experience systemic racism, and that does create trauma. And so if we can't talk about that, it's very difficult to work through and resolve some of those problems.
Well, thank you so much for giving us some insights into this distressing legislation. And to our listeners, you can hear Laura Bellin all summer talking about the fallout from what's still happening under the Golden Dome in the Capitol. So listen in on Capitol Week at noon today and throughout the summer.
Thank you, Susan.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where your hosts have been Susan Branson, Paul Wearson, and Gina McAnders. And we have a surprise for you, which is also a surprise for us. Tom and Doug are here in Ames to give us a preview of their live concert coming up on Saturday the 19th. Is that right, Doug?
Yeah, I just found out that Tom is going to be here in town, and we have set it up to do a benefit concert for KHOI. We're going to get the community back together again. It's been a long time.
Where are you going to have this concert?
I don't know how many of you have yet ventured out onto Main Street, but there is a delightful new independent bookstore called Dog-Eared Books, and it is basically just around the corner from KHOI in the fabulous Pantorium building, and we will be there 7 until 9 p.m. Saturday, you said the 19th, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, numbers, words, they're all so difficult for us these days. We're not used to talking to people, so come on out. It's going to be a free concert. Support your local community. See people again face-to-face. You're certainly welcome to continue wearing your mask. I have been really enjoying being fully vaccinated, I got to admit, though. So it is nice starting to get back out. So we're going to have a fun night of Tom and Doug music. And if you haven't been listening to our show, shame on you. It's on Saturday mornings at 11:30 and Monday evenings at 8:30. And it was KHOI's first nationally syndicated program. So we hope to see you there. And we will have some of our CDs on sale. We're going to give all the money straight over to KHOI. And there will also be other ways for you to donate to KHOI if you'd like at that time.
Well, we were told that you might sing us a song.
We will. In fact, this conversation we've been having was quite useful for me. I started writing a new Tom and Doug song just listening to it, because we haven't tackled racism in any of our, not directly in any of our songs. So I think it's time for us to write that. But I'm not ready because I really just started writing it 5 minutes ago. But I think that we have been in this very strange place for certainly the past year, where it's been difficult for us to feel like we're in control of anything. And so I thought, what we really need is a song that we can get behind, that we can recognize that, yes, there are lots of problems out there, but we can do something about it. So here is a relatively new Tom and Doug song.
Well, I don't like complaining, but I hate that there's injustice. It doesn't need explaining. This pollution should disgust us. We cut down all the forests, and there's still no cure for cancer. We act like friggin' tourists. No one has the answers. We have to deal with terror, endless robbery and crime. Can't find a tax repairer who's not crooked all the time. The world's in such disorder. Racial tensions, dynamite. There's a Starbucks on each corner, yet they don't get my drink right. New diseases out in Asia. Poverty right here at home. I considered euthanasia for those freaking garden gnomes. The price of gas just goes up. We can't afford to eat. Girls don't think they're pretty and have allergies to wheat. The ocean keeps on rising. It screws up my vacation. Can't find a single Uber when I walk out of the station. When I wasn't looking, I tripped on a homeless guy and I scuffed up both my shoes. I just want to die. But with a song like this, I could rule the world.
He can't do it. He can't do it. He just might do it.
With a song like this, I could rule the world.
He can't do it. He can't do it.
No, I don't like complaining, but this steak is a disgrace. Conversation is so draining, and my iPhone's out of space. My parking spot was taken in this nasty weather. My Wi-Fi keeps on breaking. This is the worst day ever. Someone took my cupcake and they left me all the crumbs. I have to straighten up before my cleaning lady comes. There's too much time on Facebook, it eats up all my night. If I don't kiss up to strangers, I won't get many likes. But with a song like this, I could rule the world.
He can't do it, he can't do it.
I think I can.
He just might do it.
With a song like this, I could rule the world.
He can't do it. He can't do it.
But the world's all gone to hell. I'm always just restraining the urge to scream and yell. I hate incompetence. We need someone in control who can stand with confidence and dig us from this hole. Maybe what we need is for me to be in charge. Then things would be all right. The future's looking large. If others think of me, what would Doug do, they say? Hey, I'm not selfish. I just want what's best for you. Do it my way.
With a song like this, I could rule the world. We can't do it. We can't do it.
Watch me.
We just might do it.
With a song like this, I could rule the world.
We can't do it. We can't do it.
Doug, your mom says stop playing video games and take out the garbage.
Oh, okay. So there we go. We have the solution to all of life's problems. What would Doug do? Just ask yourself that, and everything's going to be okay. So come on out next week, Saturday, 7 o'clock to Dog-Eared Books for a KHOI Tom and Doug benefit concert.
Wow.
Can you remind us the time of the concert?
7 o'clock p.m., 7 to 9.
So we still do have a few more minutes. We always want to get our money's worth. So do you?
Well, we have a brand new song that talks all about the power of community radio.
Really?
Yes. Ooh. In fact, Tom hasn't even heard it. That's how new it is.
Did you just write it while you were listening to the show?
Well, do you want to beat Tom? You want to be even before the guy who wrote the song hearing it?
Well, let's go.
My radio makes me smile. It likes to twist my dial. It plays stuff that I like. There's people behind that mic. Those people are folks I know. I get to hear them on the radio. Some speak so musically. We're a community. We're a community. Filled up with life and art. Sharing things truthfully. Speak up right from your heart. My radio don't get paid. It's a little bit renegade. My radio makes me cheer. I like to volunteer. My radio plays good sound. A nice old building in town. My radio feels alive. I call it KHOI. We're a community. We're bright, diverse, and patient. We're a community. And here's our radio station. My radio plays it cool. It buzzes and it's cute. Sometimes it's cutting edge. My radio makes me pledge. I listen when I go walk. I listen to local talk. My radio has no fear. It's just as beautiful as everyone here. We're a community filled up with life and art. Sharing things truthfully. Speak up right from your heart. We're a community. We're quite diverse and patient. We're a community. And here's our radio station.
That's awesome.
So, yes, we're excited to get the community back together. And that's one of the things local radio does better than almost any other medium, because you actually get to talk to your neighbors and hear a wide range of talents and opinions and perspectives. So come on out Saturday, June 19th, 7 p.m. at Dog Eared Books on Main Street for a Tom and Doug spectacular.
That's great. Thank you so much, Doug. That was terrific.
Well,
I hope Tom likes the song, too.
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of don't care. Well, you know, that's the joy of being the producer of the song is, you know, I get to mix it the way I like.
There you go. Well, thank you so much, and we look forward to hearing you at Dog Eared Books on the 19th.
Yep. So this will be great. Come support KHOI Community Radio and feel part of the community again.
And thank you for your contributions as well. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've been your hosts, Susan Franzen, Paul Wearson, and myself, Gina McAndrews. Other voices you heard were Leanne Harder,
Laura Bellin,
Tom Florek, and Doug Gentle.
Local Talk will be rebroadcast at 7 p.m. At noon, you can hear a rebroadcast of Capital Week, originally aired Monday evening at 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories.
Local Talk was engineered by Michael Murphy. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was You're a Little Bit Special by Reggie Greenlaw.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878 or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us if you decide to become a member or renew your membership today. Just hit the yellow Donate Become a Member button. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation is listener, and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.